Please be seated. Baird McAvarsht. Cameron Cameron. Donoghue, Clan Donoghue. The clan is here. Gunn, Gunnoch. The clan is here. Farquharson, McCrecher. McCrecher, the clan is here. Fraser, Clan Frischel, the clan is here. McIntosh, Gunn, Gunn, Gunnoch, the clan is here. McIntosh, McLennan, McLennan. McLaughlin, McLaughlin. McIntosh, McIntoshy. McNabb, Clan and Arbor. McCrae. Mechra. McThomas. McMill. McMill. McThomas. McThomas. Matheson, McMahon, Sinclair, McNacardy, Morrison, Clan Morrison, Sinclair. McLeod, McLodge. Wallace, Ullis. Clans are here.
Our call to worship this morning. John the Apostle sees a vision from the Lord. I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's stand and sing our first hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here in person and online on the YouTube live stream. And a very special welcome if you're here as part of the Melbourne Tartan Festival. Now, if you're new to Scots, we'd love to get to know you. So if you can fill in one of the introduction cards in the pew in front of you and leave it at the front desk, that would be great. Or better yet, you can scan the QR code with your phone and leave us your details online. Please do join us for refreshments over at the mezzanine floor at the Westpac building after the service, and we can get to know you. Next, our Tuesday night small groups are taking a break for the next 2 weeks, and we will resume on Tuesday the 16th of July. In other news, parents of newborns, kids and teens are invited to a brief social after the 11 a.m. service on Sunday the 21st of July. Please do speak to Arthur, our Next Generations Minister, for more details. We'd love to have you there. Finally, our next Vespers service is this Thursday, the 5th of July. It is our new Evensong service after work, and it will be held 5:30 p.m. here at Scott's for a 5:45 start. Arthur will be bringing the message on Psalm 122, which I'm looking forward to. And so if you're wanting more information, please speak to me after the service. That's our announcements for this week. Our next hymn is Rock of Ages.
Let us pray. O Lord, you love the world and all that you have made. For you are mighty God, creator, sustainer, upholder of all that is and will be. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, gracious Lord, merciful servant, who would die for the sake of what you have made. For this we are thankful. For you we lift up our hearts in gratitude, and in you we find full satisfaction and praise. Lord, redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness, and freedom, all of these things belong to you, and from you are given. All are a part of your mission to save what you love, creatures and creation. Father, you are pleased with this world, but displeased by our many wayward paths. Forgive us, we pray. Have mercy on us for your Son's sake. Let us join wholeheartedly in mission with you to proclaim your excellence to the nations, to define our own lives as lives bound up with yours. Help us persevere to the end, holy, blameless, and joyful in your presence forever and ever. Amen. We pray as the Lord taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Kids' Church is in recess for the holidays, but a reminder, do talk to me. I've talked to many of you who have children or teens or are expecting. Do chat with me, and we'll get together on the 21st of July. I know there's some excitement about that, so I'm really looking forward to it. A second plug for Vespers. This is your second of three chances to come this year, so hope to see you on Thursday. During the next hymn, we're going to take up an offering as this church strives to serve those in our local community and across the world. That's one great way to join in partnership with us. Let's continue with another classic hymn, Spirit of Truth and Grace. Let's sing.
Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, we are so grateful that your steadfast love endures forever. And thank you for giving us victory over sin, death, and darkness through your Son, Jesus. We are thankful for this new day and the Holy Spirit's guidance in teaching us, your church, to focus on the ministry of the word, prayer, and caring for one another. We thank you for blessing your church with a deep sense of unity and a clear shared purpose within the church on earth, including here at Scots Church, our constituents, the ICC, St. Stephen's and Scots City, as well as those involved in Scots ministry. We also thank you for the blessings of our visitors each Sunday and online viewers. We pray that we may continue to welcome them and care for those who have been a part of Scots for so many years. Lord God, bless us with wisdom in these efforts, and may our unity strengthen our faith and help us remain loyal to your Son, Jesus. God of all nations, we are deeply grateful for the diversity of nations and cultures worldwide. Today, we express special gratitude for the Kirkan or the Tartan Festival, which celebrates Scottish heritage. We ask that you bless these symbols of heritage and grant that those who wear them and the families they represent may do everything in love and walk humbly with the Lord. Loving God, as we seek to understand and love one another, help us to cultivate sympathy, tolerance, and goodwill towards people from different backgrounds. May we appreciate the unique gifts that others bring to to our lives and see all people as our brothers and sisters for whom Christ died. We praise you and thank you for the ability to live together in harmony as one family, united under Christ, the Redeemer. Loving God, we pray for those struggling with mental illness or trauma and those in need of physical healing through medical procedures. Oh, our divine healer, Lord Jesus, thank you for providing them strength, healing, and comfort. We also remember our loved ones who are sick, and thank you for your continued strength, presence, and peace for all. We pray for the Harnett family following Kay Harnett's sudden passing last Thursday. Lord God, during this challenging time, we ask for strength, comfort, faith, and peace for Kay's children, for Kristen, for the wider family and friends. May Kay rest in heavenly peace. We are grateful for our four mission partners, and we continue to pray for Lauren Reiter, asking for her patience and unwavering trust in your perfect timing as she awaits her visa for her mission work in Spain. May the ministry of our four mission partners be a shining example of your love and grace, leading more people to find hope and salvation in your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We pray for peace in conflict-affected regions like the Middle East, Ukraine, Sudan, and Myanmar or Burma. May love and compassion fill our world. We seek the peace of Jesus Christ to fill our hearts, our nations, and the world. We leave the starving children growing up in refugee camps and pray for provision and peace in crisis-affected countries like Gaza, Sudan, Myanmar or Burma, and Ukraine. Lord, we lament the scale of the crisis in these countries and others. Have mercy, and we ask for provision and peace to come quickly, bringing an end to this devastating crisis. And now, Lord God, we pray that you would bless our tithes and offerings and help us to use them wisely in your service and for your glory. We ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
A scripture reading in the Gaelic from 2 Timothy 3, 10 to 13. The English will follow after. Ach halan fisaket imohekekse morebehe morun mohejif mat ulingus moherk mergen mogiel lenovenen mulingus ahanekorum anan Antioch. An an Iconium, an an Lystra. Cied a miad, nan gier lienavin, a iulia mi, ac asta ulu, her, a hir na mi. Sig, fulling ye ad san, ulu lish an al, an beha, a chahad, mudiagi, an an ius, ius a Christ. Gier lienavin, ac fasi droch gwenia agus mialtaran nes misa agus nes misa, a mialag agus er a mialag.
This morning's first Bible reading is from Acts chapter 14, verse 1 to 18. You can follow along in your order of service. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, and there they continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker, and the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness. For he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. Amen.
Cheerful noise unto the God of
This morning's second Bible reading continues in Acts chapter 14 and then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord, in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. You, Timothy, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thank you, Joel. Please pause to join me in prayer before we come to God's word together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for gathering us today, and we pray that now we would be attentive to your word, that you would speak to our hearts by your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever stopped to ask what winning would look like as a Christian. What winning would look like for the Christian movement as a whole. What winning would look like as an apostle of Jesus or a mere follower of Jesus, if you happen to be one today. Because if you look closely at the words we've just read from Acts chapter 14, it might turn your ideas about winning, about doing well, about success, upside down. It's a question that occurred to me the other day when I saw the picture of Taylor Swift in that famous after-concert selfie with Prince William and the kids. I thought, what must it be like to be Taylor Swift? Hundreds of thousands of screaming fans in every city of the world. Wembley Stadium, 8 concerts, all sellouts. And even the future King of England can't wait for a selfie with you. Breathtaking. I wonder, if you're Taylor Swift, do you ever get sick of being worshipped? Surely it must be addictive. Surely a 21st century picture of what success looks like. Most people in the world would queue up to meet Prince William. But if you're Taylor Swift, Prince William queues up to meet you. So back to the question. What's success going to look like as a follower of Jesus? Because if you're going to be one, if you're going to last the distance, it is good to have realistic expectations. Now, if you've been with us over past weeks, we're following Paul and Barnabas on what's been called their first missionary journey here in the book of Acts. They were commissioned by the church in Antioch in Syria. They've travelled through the island of Cyprus. They've crossed over to Turkey last week in Pisidian Antioch. And now through Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. And then after a time, back again in reverse order, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, with a word of encouragement. And it's a word of encouragement that's the point at which I want to start this morning in verse 22, because here's where I think we need to start as we set our expectations. When they'd preached the gospel to Derbe and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. That's Paul's summary, in a sense, of what he's learned on his journey so far. That's his summary of the Christian life. Stick with the faith, no matter what trials come along. Because it's through many hard times, tribulations, that we enter the kingdom. So he says, just like a Jetstar flight, buckle up and be ready for the bumps. A bad analogy, Jetstar flights usually don't even take off. But you see, success in the end, it's going to look more like gritty perseverance than a superstar selfie. Now, I wonder if that's your expectation. Let's follow along again with Paul and Barnabas and see exactly what it's been like. Iconium, verse 1, they're in the synagogue and they've spoken so persuasively about Jesus that we're told a great number believe, both Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Greeks. But the rest of the Jews, and this is already a trend, look at their reaction in verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Now, if you've ever been on the receiving end of treatment like that, it's not fun, is it? Especially if it's because you've been public about your faith, which is why I think so many these days hesitate to be public about their faith. If you're a bit older, you maybe had it different, a social acceptance, maybe even a benefit that came from being part of an institution like Scott's Church, for example. But make no mistake, those days are gone. As for Paul, back at the start, no benefit at all. Opposed, maligned. People poisoned against him. But look, you'll notice in spite of that opposition, Paul and Barnabas keep at it. In fact, surprisingly, it's because of the opposition they keep at it. Look at verse 3. It follows straight on. They're opposed, so they keep speaking boldly for the Lord, who then works amazing wonders through them to back up their words. And yet opposition grows to the point where there is a plot to stone them. And so they flee in fear of their lives to Lystra, then to Derbe, where, astonishingly, if you think about it, they just keep at it. preaching about Jesus, verse 7. And there they continued to preach the gospel, which, with one exception, which we'll come back to in a moment, ends in the same way as it did in Iconium. Notice the trend. Now, most likely it's the same opponents. They've tracked him all the way down from Antioch and Iconium. It's like Paul particularly is picking up a retinue of Jewish opponents campaigning to win back the crowds. And this time, they're not going to let him get away. Take a look, verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. Yes, he's stoned, left for dead. How is that for a successful public speaking career? I mean, surely at this point you'd be saying, enough's enough. Surely you'd be thinking, this Jesus stuff is too risky, it's too costly, it is too unpopular. There's Paul lying in a bloody heap, unconscious. Remember that song by Chumbawamba, One Hit Wonders, in 1997? I get knocked down, I get up again, you're never gonna keep me down. Joe Biden actually quoted that on Friday after the debate. See, that's Paul. Here's how he puts it later in his letter to the church in Corinth, where the Corinthians are caught up in the wrong kind of success myth. He says, ignore anyone who comes to you with a glamour version of Christianity. Forget the prosperity preachers. They had them back then as well. He says, here's what the life of a real apostle looks like. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Thinking back, I reckon, to exactly this moment, dragged out to the outskirts of Lystra, dumped on the rubbish tip, left for dead. Struck down, and yet not destroyed. Pick it up in verse 20. But when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe, where the mission continues. You think he's going to stop just because they stoned him? And verse 21, when they'd preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, it's straight back on the road again for the return loop to Lystra, where he'd been left for dead. And Iconium, Antioch, back into danger. So keen to strengthen the souls of the new disciples who'll be facing exactly the same opposition as he was, to encourage them to get up again whenever they get knocked down. Because that is the nature of Christian mission. That is so often the nature of Christian living, that the message of Jesus is so often so unwelcome. Now, there is just one counterexample, and it's worth noting, because it makes exactly the same point. Turns out, did you notice, at the start of their time in Lystra, Paul and Barnabas actually have their Taylor Swift moment. They're treated like rock stars, or more accurately, they're being treated like gods. Because when they heal a man who's been crippled from birth, when they say, stand up on your feet, and he does, suddenly, in the literal sense of the word, they are idolised by the whole city. Like the time I was upgraded to business class on a flight to Singapore, suddenly treated like you're important. It is nice to feel special. When the people see what's happened, they say the gods have come. Barnabas has got to be Zeus. Paul, he must be Hermes, because Hermes is the messenger god and Paul's doing all the talking. And the priest from the church of Zeus at the city gates brings sacrifices and garlands of colourful flowers, just like Fiji Barnabas and Paul, they are about to be worshipped. Which surely is going to look and feel very much like success, winning in a very Taylor Swift kind of way. But you see, here's the thing. It's not that they've got the power of healing in themselves. It's very clear. It's Jesus who's been doing the signs and wonders that confirm the word of his grace. It's not Paul and Barnabas who are gods to be worshipped. It is Jesus. So nice as it is, they won't have a bar of it. Not even a petal from the flower of a garland. Not even a spoonful of sacrificial oxtail soup. Not for a moment are they going to succeed this way. They rip their clothes. They rush into the crowd. They say, stop it, we're just ordinary men like you. But men with a message. And here it is. Turn from your worship of Zeus and Hermes and all your Greek pantheon of gods. Turn from your idolatry and your false gods to the true and living God. Turn from your empty statues and images to the God who made everything. The earth, the sea, everything in them. It's a Genesis 1 recap for these Greeks with no Genesis at all. This is the God who made everything good. This is the God who made crops and fruit and chocolate and music and springtime, everything good. Love and Beethoven and bagpipes. This is the good and living God who reveals himself in the person of Jesus, the one we're talking about. So you need to turn from your vain and futile images that one day will fill Western museums and galleries and Chris Hemsworth movies, and trust the real God instead. Because you're just running on empty gods. Which is a risky thing to say, isn't it, if you want to succeed? It's awkward. It's awkward to our modern ears, where all religions are meant to get equal respect, even if most people think it's just because all religions are equally wrong. Maybe even offensive to some of our own minor gods in our own lives. Paul says there is all the difference in the world in who you worship. It matters. Certainly shouldn't be me or Barnabas. And while you're at it, don't bother with Hermes or Zeus either, or anything we make with human hands. Now, they're tough words. Though even then, there's still a push to bow down to them. At this moment of peak success, so popular, they turn it down. At which point those Jews turn up from Antioch and Iconium, as we saw, and turn the crowds, and Paul is stoned and left for dead, from hero to zero in a moment, or so it seems, from celebrated to scrap heap in a heartbeat. So, what does success actually look like in this first Christian mission? I'll tell you in a nutshell. It's going to look like faithfully proclaiming Jesus, even under hardship. That's what they've learned. And so, it's time to head for home. Back through Pamphylia, Perga, Attalia, from there all the way back to Antioch in Syria, where they'd first been commissioned. Notice the careful choice of words in verse 26, where they'd been commended to the grace of God for the work that they'd fulfilled. The job's been done. Here's success. They've actually fulfilled the job they were commissioned for by the Spirit of God, persevering through abuse and stoning, everything else that went with it. Mission accomplished. Because they have relentlessly kept preaching the word. You notice verse 1. They spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. Verse 3, they have been speaking boldly for the Lord. Verse 7, in spite of the first stoning attempt, they continued to preach the gospel, no matter what. In Derbe, verse 21, they preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, not of themselves, but of the Lord Jesus. And most significantly in the way the story's unfolding through our series, not just Jewish disciples, but Gentiles as well. People like us, which is the overall summary in verse 27. As they gather the church together that sent them off and they give their report. This is God's work and they've been his agents over and over again. He's used them to fulfill his agenda, which has been to open a door of faith to Gentiles like you and me. First steps in what's to become an international community, which we celebrate here every week at Scott's Church and mark this morning with our tartan friends as well, that people like us from every nation get to hear the message of the Lord Jesus and step through that door of faith. Scots and Malaysians and Sri Lankans and Australians, that same contentious call to leave our empty gods behind and turn to the living God of life. The consequences will sometimes be painful. Times when being Christian won't feel popular or powerful at all. Just the opposite. Because in the end, political power and influence and royal treatment are not our definition of success. And so we shouldn't be discouraged. Michael Jensen says in his book, Subjects and Citizens, conflict and trial, whatever form they take, are only temporary. The church has joy because it has hope, which means that it can patiently endure affliction of all kinds. We needn't be obsessive about controlling everything about the here and now because we entrust it to God. We don't have to secure our identity, he says, from the government or from keeping up with the times. Our job is to be faithful to Christ. That is our version of a job well done. It's what Paul says in his words of encouragement. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So friends, keep going to the end. In your faith when it's hard. In your workplace or uni tutorial when there's scorn. When you get home from church and your husband or wife mocks you for how you've spent your morning. Press on in joyful hope. Because in the light of the resurrection ahead, we might get knocked down, but we'll get up again. Paul's words to the Corinthians, we're afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Because in the end, you see, becoming more and more like Jesus is always the way we proclaim him. And the only way we win. And that's our measure of success. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, please, we pray, sustain us through hard times, times of opposition, times when we feel disdain for our quiet trust in the Lord Jesus. Help us to cling to him, we pray, with that blessed assurance of what lies ahead. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please stand to join in our last hymn, which is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Well, friends, thanks for being with us this morning. Thank you particularly to our Scots friends who are with us today. Morning tea, refreshments will be served immediately after the service on the mezzanine level of the Westpac building behind me. Scots City, our next generation's service tonight, 5 p.m. and Vespers this Thursday, the 4th, from around 5:30 p.m. here. We'd love to see you there. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.